بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I arrived at Tehran Airport on Thursday at 2:30 a.m. And as I checked through customs, I realized there were two lines, one called the green line and one the red line. And I've never seen this at any other airport. So I went to the table and discovered there's a form that you fill in, and if you had goods worth more than $80, you would go through the red line, and if goods that you brought with you less than $80, you could go through the green line. You fill in the form and then hand it in at the customs, and amazingly the person who receives you believes you, smiles, greets, and allows you to go through. Unlike even in my own country, South Africa, where they body search you, they open sealed parcels, etc., with a paranoia which is unbelievable. And here we have this friendly, relaxed atmosphere. In my entire period at the airport, I never heard any shouting, no screaming. I didn't see any patrol dogs like I see at Istanbul Airport. I saw no liquor adverts in the airport. There were no new displays. Outside the airport, there were thousands of Iranians coming to receive passengers who had landed, and immediately noticed that they were all modestly dressed. The weather was a bit cold, so that could have been one reason. And then Sheikh Mujtaba Nurani and Brother Muhammad were standing in the crowd of thousands with a board with my name on it. And I spotted it, went over, and as I approached them, they immediately greeted, recognizing me as the person that was going through. We got into the car and then sped off to the hotel. In the hotel lobby, I was amazed to have been met by the same warmth and this dignified respectability. And where communication was difficult, because most of the people are Farsi speaking, which is to be expected, immediately a translator was called. And not necessarily an official translator, but one of the guests or one of the staff members. And in the hotel lobby itself, I didn't notice any hotel bar. There were no new displays. And this started immediately impacting on me, because all the other airports are infested with this type of phenomena. Later on, wandering through the streets and just observing it from the hotel window, no liquor adverts, no shebeens, these private liquor outlets, no nightclubs, no red light districts, no pornographic literature in the bookshops on display, no pornographic display boards, the billboards along the roads, but beautiful revolutionary slogans commemorating the revolution, photographs of some of the great leaders, and no semi-naked women like in most Western and unfortunately in most Muslim countries. That was noticeable immediately. Then came perhaps the highlight of my life, when on a Friday morning I woke up and I was looking for a place to have some things tapped. And the hotel receptionist told me, look, all the shops will be closed at this moment in time, but they'll open after Jumu'ah. So then I realized that Friday morning starts with the preparation for Jumu'ah. And this was something like 9 a.m. I immediately then got prepared for Jumu'ah, and the brothers fetched me, and off we went. We came to an area which was cordoned off, the roads were cordoned off, and there were revolutionary guards on duty, traffic officers on duty, and policemen on duty, all polite, standing quietly around, indicating where traffic should go, being very helpful. And we managed to park a few hundred meters from the gates of this enormous ground where the Jumu'ah was going to be held. and the one section was completely roofed in, and that section I estimated could possibly seat about 50,000 people. But I was then ushered in and amazed to find that I was made to stand in the third saf, the third row. Now, here's a foreigner in a country and escorted into the Jumu'ah, and to occupy the third saf. Now, that's unheard of in any country in the world, unless you're an official guest of some great personality. But I also noticed that most of the people under the roof cover in the front of this space were in military uniform or some form of Revolutionary Guard uniform. Then the khutbah was delivered, and the person was delivering the khutbah, I didn't know who it was at first, and then afterwards I inquired, and this was Ayatollah Yazdi. Dignified, precise, emphatic where emphasis was needed, and when there was an appropriate climax, something as a young revolutionary that we introduced in South Africa was the takbir, if a point was made that was valid and strong. But here, not 10 or 12 people takbir, but there was an enormous roar, and I was certain that it couldn't be just the people under the roof covering. But I didn't want to look back because I was concentrating on the imam delivering the khutbah. But then, apart from the takbir, they brought the salawat, and then I listened very intently, and then I realized that there were some revolutionary slogans that were shouted after that. And they were Marbar Munafiqun, meaning in Farsi, death to the hypocrites, Marbar America, death to America, and Marbar Israel, death to Israel. And I sat up straight, realizing that here, slogans that we shouted on the streets in Cape Town and in demonstrations were actually being called inside the masjid during Jumu'ah with the quiet acquiescence of the imam of the masjid and the entire crowd participating in this. And that just lifted the entire experience of Jumu'ah into another dimension. And then I recalled having read about Imam Khomeini in one of his works, he says that unless we perform Jumu'ah correctly, we will never advance one inch against the system of oppression. And that was quite sad, because in South Africa, in the area where I live, the Western Cape, there are 110 masajid, and possibly 90 of them have Jumu'ah, and the attendance at each one of them, some only take about 200, others up to 5,000. And here, what I was observing, I thought was about 50,000 people. Then the khutbah was concluded, the salah was performed, and then afterwards the du'as were made. And then I put on my shoes and walked out, went to the car that was provided, the minibus, and then realized that the 50,000 people I saw from my vantage point had all of a sudden multiplied by 10. Here were 500,000 people attending Jumu'ah, and the most significant aspect of people coming out of the various gates were these hundreds of thousands of Muslim women dressed in hijab. In South Africa, in certain areas, women are not allowed to enter a masjid. In the Western Cape, fortunately, where I come from, Cape Town area, this is not the case. But women in the tens of thousands, the hundreds of thousands coming out of the masjid for Jumu'ah, that was remarkable. And we parked there for about 20 minutes to half an hour, And the people coming out of Juma didn't stop. And as we drove up some of the main roads to get out, we realized that the area had been cordoned off to accommodate this approximately 500,000 people. I didn't hear a single car hoot. I saw no traffic jams. And this quiet serenity about all of these people that came out of Juma said it all. Now I realize the significance of, if you do not perform your Jumu'ah properly, you cannot advance against a system of oppression. But then it struck me, in which country, Western, Eastern, or Far Eastern, or for that matter, anywhere in the world, has a head of state, a prime minister or a president, have the opportunity to address his electorate once a week for the rest of his life, with these the crowd being approximately 500,000? Nowhere in the world. Now, certainly, when we talk about Jumu'ah being the criteria of the week, just as Ramadan is the criteria of the year, and your Hajj is the criteria of your lifetime, now it starts to make sense. Because the khutbah was relevant, it was coherent, it was dynamic, and directives were given to the people, which obviously, when they leave the premises, they go and implement it. And on the outskirts of the area cordoned off, within half an hour, the flea markets were opened and people were selling goods, etc. Now, wouldn't any businessman would like to have 500,000 people passing his little stall? Because it sold out within a couple of seconds. That to me was magnificent, absolute magnificent. I later on said to one Iranian brother that if it was possible, I would fly up from Cape Town for Jumu'ah every single week for the rest of my life.